Hey, you don't have to give up your home and live in a tent to support honest journalism in your community. All we're asking you to do right now is to contribute what you can to financially help public radio remain a vital part of the place you call home. And if you can afford to put in a little extra for your neighbors who can't really spare anything right now but want to be able to listen in, well, that goes a long way in making sure that public radio continues to thrive and that it's available for everyone to hear. This non-commercial radio station brings you access to interesting people and voices from around the world. And your support during this fundraising campaign, that makes it happen. Our colleagues at Iowa Public Radio were kind enough to set up their studio for us a while back to bring us our next guest. Jeff Biggers joins us to tell us about the often overlooked island of Sardinia. It's one of those two large islands off the Mediterranean coast of Italy. In Jeff's book, In Sardinia, he describes what he found living there, including the island's biggest festival of the year. It involves a long walk plus traditions that go back hundreds of years.
The biggest festival in Sardinia is the first week of May. Uh-huh. It's the festival of Saint Ephesius, and there's really nothing quite like it. It kind of reminds me of the kind of stuff you would see in Andalusia or whatnot. But what they do is they rewalk this 40-mile procession that begins in the downtown district of the capital, Cagliari, and they walk all the way to Nora, and it's in recognition of the end of a plague that hit the island in 1652. So they've been doing this festival for 350 years. I just want you to imagine, you know, colors, waves of colors. You have literally thousands of people who arrive in their traditional dress with their hats and gowns and veils and skirts, and then they're followed by hundreds of horsemen, and they're accompanied on the sides by brigades of musicians who play this ancient reed instrument called the leonada, which kind of sounds like a bagpipe, but it's not. It's their own instrument that dates back to the Bronze Age. And they actually end up in this little town on the coast called Nora, which in itself is an extraordinary place. It's a 3,000-year-old Phoenician city that literally the ruins just fall into the sea. Half the city still is in the sea. And I feel like with this incredible festival, you almost walk through 3,000 years of time over 3 days. It's really one of the most extraordinary things for a traveler to experience in Sardinia.
And Sardinians have been doing this annually for 350 years.
Exactly.
Amazing. What a joy to actually be there on the curb and watch this procession go by.
You know, the sense of beauty, there's a similar festival in the north in Sassari. You know, there's this incredible competition between Sassari in the north and Cagliari in the south. And they call it the Festival of Beauty. And I think that, to me, represents very much all of Sardinia, is this sense of beauty about it, be the nature or the culture or the music or the language and poetry or the dances, but literally just the daily living. There's this incredible sense of beauty. And I think that's what the first week of May is all about, is capturing that beauty and that thankfulness for not only ending the plague, but moving on as a culture.
So this little town, and it's N-U-O-R-O, Nuoro, 35,000 people or so, that's where you find what sort of embodies what's classically Sardinian. And it's that pastoral culture and cuisine. And you wrote about the local choral groups. That's really the music of Sardinian shepherds, right?
Yeah, they call this canto a tenore, the songs of the tenors, because it's based on a quartet. Often it came out of the shepherd community, of shepherds who would come together as a quartet, each taking a different role. And they were polyphonic sounds and choirs that would sing these really chilling ancient songs. Mm. I mean, this is incredible, Rick. I heard about this first in the 1980s from Frank Zappa, the great rocker who heard it for the first time, and Peter Gabriel heard it for the first time.
Wow.
And of course, UNESCO went on to make it a one of our World Heritage Sites, the music itself. And that music still today thrives on the island. It's based on the poetry of each village and the music. And it's one of those incredible experiences that, you know, every writer who goes through is really captivated by.
I love to celebrate the cultural diversity of places like, well, Italy and Europe and Sardinia. One indication of how enchanting that might be is in the very first chapter of your book. You wrote about the Sardinia blues. When you leave, you long to return. But the Roman statesman Cicero gave a little different twist on it. He wrote, The island of Sardinia is ugly, and even its abundant honey was bitter. Ah, what about the honey?
You know, what he missed was, of course, the bitter honey is the symbolism of the beautiful food of Italy. They make the honey from the strawberry tree. And so it does have a little bitter taste, but that's part of really understanding the true Sardinian identity. So the fact that he would even catch that 2,000 years ago was a great insight to really what he was missing.
The Sardinian identity. I guess the only thing I wanted to add was, you know, Sardinia is not named after sardines, but sardines are named after Sardinia, right?
Yeah, exactly. I think the first time they got it down on paper was around the 1600s. The Brits, an English writer, put these sardines that we bought, they were mullet fish, and from that island. And so that island was Sardinium, so we're going to call them the sardines.
Nice. Well, I've had my salad niçoise, my Nice salad in Nice. I've had my salad caprese, insalata caprese on Capri. Mm. I've had my cappuccino with a Capuchin monk, but I've yet to have my sardine in Sardinia.
They have to look hard and far, but you can find it. And you can cheat too, you know, and eat the botarga.
Jeff Biggers is the author of In Sardinia, where he lives when he's not in Iowa City. He's also written about Arizona and Appalachia, and his website is jeffbiggers.com. As we've all been noticing, there are some powerful people who would prefer it if we didn't have public broadcasting in America. They want to make it a challenge to find the straightforward kind of news reporting and diverse perspectives that you know you can rely on every day from this public radio station. This is public radio. It's people's radio. The grassroots level where you and I live is the foundation of public radio, and it's at home in the USA. It keeps us connected nationwide and with the rest of the world. Public radio brings me perspectives that I believe make me a better citizen of my community, of my country, and of my world. Let's keep it strong and vital right here in our community. Your financial support during this special fundraising campaign is exactly how we do it. Thanks for hearing us, and thank you for doing what you can to make sure public radio continues right here where you know where to find it on your dial every day for a long time to come.